Public health officials have been warning for months that social distancing is key if we want to reduce the number of people getting sick with coronavirus. Despite that, some across the country have ignored that advice, leading to crowds on beaches, parks, and elsewhere. Our next guest says that psychology might help explain why, specifically something she studied called the optimistic bias. Marie Helwig-Larsen is a professor of psychology at Dickinson College. Her latest piece for The Conversation is titled, In Battling the Coronavirus, Will Optimistic Bias Be Our Undoing? Marie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, first, can you explain this concept of the optimistic bias?
Yes, I have studied this concept for over 30 years, and it essentially just refers to when people see themselves as less susceptible to risk than others. So, for example, we think that we're less at risk than other people of having a stroke, getting injured in a car accident, or getting divorced. And even people who might think that their behavior is somewhat dangerous, like smokers do, they still think that they're less at risk than other smokers, for example, of getting lung cancer. So we're kind of seeing the same thing actually with the coronavirus. So I was impressed to find that there's already research out there on what people think about their risk of the coronavirus. And there was just a study before the outbreak. So it was in before the outbreak was very serious with 4,000 Europeans. And they were asked what they thought their risk was of personally getting infected. And then they were asked what they thought the chance was of someone in their country, an average person, was to get infected. And half of the people thought that they were less likely than other people in their own country to get infected. And actually only 5% were pessimistically biased and thought that they were more likely to get infected. So it's really very common, and we are seeing that with the coronavirus as well.
I guess the key is this optimistic bias strong enough that it keeps people from taking action? If I really think I'm not at risk, do I ignore those suggestions or orders to avoid that close personal contact?
For sure. So there's actually quite a bit of research in general showing that how people view their risk, personal risk, affect their behaviors. So this is true in smoking. Smokers who think that they're less at risk of having negative consequences, also less interested in quitting, which doesn't seem surprising. And actually, there was a study, again, with coronavirus, but same results for an earlier study of the H1N1 virus. And both of them showed that the more people thought they were not at risk, the less hand washing they did, the less social distancing, and fewer other precautions they took as seemingly as a result of not thinking that they were personally at risk.
Now, optimistic bias sounds like a good thing. I mean, is there an upside to us as humans having this default optimistic mode?
For sure. So the research generally shows that having an optimistic outlook is good. It helps us feel less worried. It makes us feel in control. And those are definitely good things. So the tricky part is that you should realize that you are at risk in a positive way. So what does that actually look like? That might seem opposite. So one perspective is to not underestimate your risk and undertake precautions, but you could also not perhaps focus so much on what you think your own risk is, but instead think about the positive consequences of you taking precautions that don't have to do with you not getting sick. So by taking precautions, you're also protecting all the vulnerable people in your community, grandparents and people who have other health diseases. And you're also protecting our healthcare system and perhaps even our economy. So instead of perhaps focusing so much on you not being at risk, think about how you are helping many other aspects by engaging in social distancing and washing your hands.
Marie Helwig-Larsen is with us, professor of psychology at Dickinson College. She's talking about what's called the optimistic bias and why it may lead us to overestimate our chances of not catching disease, underestimate the risk, I guess would be a better way of putting it, and how it affects our personal actions. So, Marie, what you're just talking about there, is that a better messaging strategy to overcome the optimistic bias? Say, protect yourself from getting sick, it's take these actions to protect people who are really vulnerable from getting sick.
Exactly. And I actually found similar findings in my smoking research. So smokers who thought that them quitting smoking would reduce the risk of to other people of their smoking were particularly motivated to quit. So thinking outside of your own vulnerability can be generally effective. And it can also maybe disrupt some of this risk minimization that we see commonly in many different types of risk, but particularly when there's a lot of uncertainty. So the more uncertainty, as there is right now, about what actually causes the coronavirus and how it's transmitted, can lead you to believe that you are uniquely invulnerable, which you may or may not be, but then instead think about other people.
Anecdotally, now I haven't done research on this. Maybe there's some communications people who do, but I feel like that's a lot of the messaging I've been hearing on coronavirus. It isn't so much, hey, you should be scared, you're going to get sick. It's here's how to protect you, your family, your community, your loved ones from getting sick. Just from what you've seen just on the street in your own media consumption, do you see that that's been a message that's been out there?
Absolutely. So I'm located in the UK right now, and part of the messaging here is to save the National Health Service. So specifically mentioning a structural aspect that's also under threat, namely the healthcare system. So that is part of the messaging, and then one might wonder why that's not working perfectly. So perhaps it's like other changes, people stick to what they're used to and sometimes have difficulty adjusting to and changing. So another strategy is perhaps to just think of some of these aspects as new habits. And new habits are hard, for sure, but probably every time you brush your teeth, you don't go, well, I am reducing my likelihood of having dental problems. So most people just brush their teeth, right? And they do it and they don't think so much about who they're protecting or how they're doing it because it's become a habit. So what's very challenging is that we're all trying to establish new habits. Clearly, it's not natural for us to keep other people 6 feet apart from us. And perhaps we're used to washing hands, but not as frequently. So trying to consciously establish new habits can then disrupt some of these issues about why you're doing it, because you should just do it all the time.
Does information and more exposure to information overcome our optimistic bias, like with coronavirus, when it was, okay, it's just this thing in China, or this thing in China, Iran, and Italy, or, well, it's on the coast, but it's not here. As it looms closer and closer, does that tend to knock us out of that optimistic bias?
Absolutely. And we're already seeing some of that in the research that's come out, is that even over a 5-day period in one study, people, in fact, did increase their beliefs about how risky it was for them. The tricky part is that they also increased the estimate of how risky it was for everyone else. So they were equally optimistic biased because they just increased their beliefs about everyone's risk going up. But there's a lot of research on personal experience, and it shows exactly what you're describing, is that the closer and more visceral the experiences are, the more you say, yeah, so maybe I'm not really immune, and it's not just the other people, and it's not just the old people, and it's not just people who did this and that and the other that put them at risk. So I would expect there to be more realistic approaches to preventive behaviors the more serious we see the outbreaks. The danger, of course, is that that is too late. So we need to work very hard before it's on our doorstep.
Very briefly, Marie, can we overcome this optimistic bias, but not sink into anxiety, not overcorrect?
Yes. So the danger is actually not overreacting, but underreacting right now. So it's not good to be anxious, for sure. So I would say the strategy is to engage in the correct behavior and be hopeful.
We'll leave it there for now. Marie, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Happy to be here.
We've been talking to Marie Helwig-Larsen, professor of psychology at Dickinson College. She was with us today to talk about what psychologists call the optimistic bias and how it could be affecting our collective response to the coronavirus. As she said, we tend to risk on something like a disease or smoking or anything like that. Love to hear from you about this. Has your thinking, your willingness to take action changed as this story and this disease has developed in the news. You could email ideas@WPR.org. Again, that's ideas@WPR.org. Or you can tweet us at Central Time WPR. Let us know how your thinking has evolved in the last few weeks, last few days, and how it's changed the way you're taking action, if at all. And of course, you can keep following this quick-moving story over at WPR.org/.